All right, welcome back to Module 5. Listen, up until this point, we've kind of created a theme for this course, right? We wanna take uncomfortable action. We wanna move forward with courage, even sometimes when we don't have proof, but we know because we're following a path that's already worked. We know that we wanna step up our game and think about who we want to become when no one is watching, right? We know we wanna learn from others. We want to identify those 7 core principles that can keep us moving forward, right? We also identified where the inner villain comes from. And then we identified how to crush it, right? How to squash that inner villain. We identified that story that came from someone else or something in your past that you didn't even realize in some cases it was lingering. You know, that story may have got you out of Egypt, but it's not the story that's going to take you to the promised land. I don't care if you're struggling with your back against the wall. There's a story that's holding you there. I don't care if you're doing pretty darn good, but it's time to go the next level. There's a story keeping you there. And if you're killing it and it's time to really maximize what you do in the world, it's a story, right? So it's not about your story's horrible, but your story may have got you where you are. And we need to replace that with a new story to take you to where you want to be. And we went through that exercise. Oh my God, I had the ability with so many of you while we're filming this live, I know so many of you are watching this in the course, but to have the ability to watch people's stories impact their heart and put them in tears and then cheers. That rhymed, that was pretty cool. Wasn't planned, but watching that was unbelievable. And then we anchored in our true emotions on why the heck we want this. Why are you going through this course? Why do you want another level of impact, income, happiness, joy, abundance, intimacy, passion, love in your life? Why? At the deepest level. And that exercise, you guys filled my hearts by playing full out. And I appreciate you doing the exercises as we go along this journey. So we've done all that up to this point. Congratulations for being here. Now it's time to acknowledge and awaken and unleash the inner hero that lives inside of us. And we all have that, right? How many times in life, right? When you go to do something, we talked about the story of the two wolves, right? When you go to do something you're excited about, isn't it crazy how you have two voices going on in your head? One's like, I don't think that's gonna work. Your parents think you're crazy. Why is that happening? Let's not do it. Let's just sit here. Let's sit on our hands and see what happens. And then there's the other voice going, come on, we need to do this. What will we do if we're gonna stay the same person we were? We're meant for more. It's like when people say you don't have two voices, I'm like, heck, you're not paying attention, because we all do. Think about this. Have you ever, when people say, I don't know if I have two voices, I want you to think this silly example. Do you ever have a girlfriend or a friend come over and you're having a conversation with them, and while they're telling you about something that happened at the mall, you're thinking to your head, you're listening, but also you're thinking, should I tell her she has a seed in her tooth, or will that be embarrassing? Like, I know she's got that seed in her tooth, but if I tell her, but if I leave it there, maybe that's not. And this whole time, you're talking to her and your brain is thinking about the seed in her tooth or the shoes she has on are not that cool or whatever. Sometimes I'll be on stage doing a presentation. There's 10,000 people in the audience and I see one person 10 rows back, 2 rows over, and I see like a husband and wife, and the wife's on fire, and the husband's like nodding off a little bit. And I could be literally talking to 20,000 people in the middle of a presentation, and in my head, that guy, I'm like, man, that guy's pissing me off. Like, why is he sleeping? I'm giving the best of me. Like, do I call him out? And all of this is going on at once. I'm presenting, I'm on stage, I'm present. Well, simultaneously, 10 rows back, 3 seats over, I wanna go shake the husband or shake the wife, whoever it is, right? I say that because we have both of those voices. And again, like the wolf, like the story of the two wolves, like the inner villain or the inner hero, the subconscious, who we feed is who will be in charge. So the reason we do this, and the reason we've gone through this process, and now we want to acknowledge and awaken and unleash this inner hero, is because I still, in my life, and I just want you to know this, because if you think I have this all figured out and every day I wake up on fire and there's no inner villain, there's no self-doubt, I'm just perfect, I'm aligned, and I just go, I'd be lying to you. I have to go through these processes. How often do we have to go to the gym to be in good shape? Every day. How often does this need to be a part of our life? Every day. How often do we question if we could go forward with this new concept, this new business, this new idea, the knowledge industry, the network marketing industry? How often do we question ourselves? every day. So how often do we have to unleash the inner hero? Every single day. And that's why we're going through this. Because at this age, I look back and know for a fact that if you're not where you want to be, it's not because you can't find the vehicle, the tools, the skills, the training, the capabilities. It's not because you're not worthy. It's not because you're lazy. It's not because you're not intelligent. It's not because you don't have the money, because resourcefulness will always outdo resources. It's because the wrong person's in charge. And you only need a crumb of self-doubt to kill your confidence and bring you back to, I think we should just sit on our hands and wait to see how it goes. And I'm not gonna let that happen. And I don't think you want to, or you wouldn't be here. Because if you think about it, what's a hero? I had them printed out for me. A hero is a noun. It's a person who's admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities, right? What is inner? Inner is situated inside or further within, internal, either mental or spiritual. So think about it. Your inner hero is nothing more than the best version of you, right? I use silly analogies, I know. Inner villain, inner hero, what are we, like seven? And these are cartoon characters. But isn't it easy to remember? Like when you're thinking of making the phone call and you go, I don't know if I should. You can go, oh, wait a minute. The inner villain's in charge right now. I'm not letting that happen. Let me evoke and let me bring the inner hero to light. And I've been saying these silly analogies, probably that one I've been studying this forever, but for over a decade I've been using that. And I'll still say to myself, like, how can I let the villain be in charge today? Because the villain, I want to tell you this, the villain will always fight to be in charge. You got to know that. And especially if this is a shift for you. Maybe you didn't even realize that you let this inner villain be in control of you. The phone conversations you have, the focus that you have, the belief you have, playing scared, waiting for someone else to fix it. You didn't even know that this villain was in charge. So now, all of a sudden you go, you're not in charge anymore. The villain's like, oh, wait a minute. I've been nesting in here for a while. I'm coming back strong. Will the villain fight harder? Absolutely. Will the villain look for more proof? Way more. And that's why in this section, I want to go really deep on the two factors necessary to become that achiever that you want, to create the success you want, to let the hero be in charge. Those two things are your state of mind and your confidence level. Think about that, right? We know, we've talked about this a little up until now, but now we're going to go deep on it. Think about that. Think about your state of mind and your confidence. Have you ever done anything absolutely outstanding with a crappy state of mind and low confidence? You're like, oh, no, I don't want to do that now. I'll talk to him later. No, the relationship's fine. You know, I should just be happy with this job. Who the hell am I think I could start my own business or scale my own thing? No, the heck with that, right? That's the way we talk when our state of mind is down and our confidence is down. So what we have to do is find skills. We have to remember, we have to have a framework that when our wrong state of mind comes in, when our lack of confidence comes down, remember I told you earlier, and I believe this with all of me, confidence isn't on a scale of 0 to 100. If your confidence is at 95%, in my opinion, you play small. You're not playing into your full potential. You're playing into your fears and you just hesitate, right? Think of the old saying, he who hesitates or she who hesitates loses, right? Couldn't be more dead on accurate. When you hesitate, you miss those opportunities. You already have. You know you've already missed opportunities. You've already played too small. Come on. You know you have, right? It doesn't matter where you are. I know so many of you are massively successful. So you're all successful in your own right. So please know when I say that. But you know you've played small. And what if one of the things you knew from this course is that you could put a face and a name, or not really a face, but a name to that thing, that person that's held you back. It's not that you're lazy. It's not that you're a procrastinator. It's not that it's the wrong time in history. It's not just because your husband or your wife doesn't support you. It's because it sinks, because we're in control. Nobody, you know, what have we talked about? We're either the thermostat or the thermometer, right? And if the greatest gift I would love for each of you to have is to leave this course being more of the thermostat. Like, no, today I'm adjusting the temperature. There ain't nobody telling me what degree to put this on. There's nobody telling me what to do. I love the people around me, love my family, husband, wife, mom, dad, love them all, but they're not adjusting me. Like, you know what I just thought of this and I'm gonna do it myself, is like you get a picture of a thermostat and it's like you picture no one else can touch it except you. Like, do not touch. It's for Tracy or Jean or Kristen or Margarita or Tara or any of you watching right now. That's who's in control. No one else gets to adjust that. And when we do that, we get to build that state of mind and confidence. You know, I have to tell you a story about confidence. A dear friend of mine, Richard Rossi, really sweet guy, and just a good dude, good father, good husband, good leader, had a company where he helped highly achieving high school students from all around the country, and I'm here in America, and several times a year he would fly him to Washington, D.C. for this two-week immersive next level life, just, you know, achievers, right? And really help them see life. And they'd go visit the Capitol building. They'd do all this cool stuff, but they really taught these kids how to go to another level. And it was massively successful. Ran that company for many, many years, and he ended up selling it. He's got another great company now. And I said to him one day, I'm like, what is the common thread? Now, here's a guy, several decades of seeing the highest performing, and sometimes it wasn't the highest grades, it was the highest performing high school students that were nominated by their teachers. So think about that. Teachers nominated these kids to go to this special two-week immersive training. And I said to him, what was the common thread? And he goes, Dean, I'm so glad you asked me that, because it was something I was obsessed on for all these years doing it, and it wasn't what I expected. Because I have to tell you, I'm watching and I'm expecting the kids that are nominated have the best grades. The kids that are nominated come from the best side of town because their parents are, the kids that are nominated maybe didn't have abuse. The kids are, and he said, I would have guessed a million factors. He goes, hands down, after a couple decades of doing this, I know exactly what the one common thread for every kid that gets nominated. Confidence. He goes, not like cockiness, like arrogant, like rude kids that walk in and go, everybody, I'm here. He goes, no, just this level of confidence. Like, you'd see this room. And he's like, it's something I always want. I want my children to have. He's got adult children now. He's like, I want to do everything in my power to give my kids the power to invoke confidence, because it allows people to make the decisions. Listen, when you're confident, you say no to the thing that you should have said no to a long time ago. And as I say that, you're thinking about something. You have confidence, you say yes to the thing you should have said yes to a long time ago. You choose you. You choose your next level. You choose who you're supposed to be when you have confidence. So that's why this is so important. And think about the villain in charge and how the confidence process gets destroyed. I wrote these down, obsessing over you guys, like in this part of the training about confidence. I was trying to think of this natural evolution, like the slide that you could see yourself going down the wrong path. Because I could say, this robs your confidence, right? We talked about negative news and all the things that feeds the villain. It also kills the confidence. But I was also thinking there's a slippery slope, right? So think about this. If you're excited about what could be, right? You're starting the new business. You're going to build a team. You're going to go into the knowledge. And you're going to share what you know. You're going to open up three more pizza restaurants. I don't know what it is, but you're doing something. And you feel amazing, like excited for what could be. You're looking at that compelling future. You want to just make it bigger. And then all of a sudden, your subconscious, when your villain's in charge, starts to want to protect you. Oh, damn, Kimberly's dreaming again. Okay, let's get some proof. Let's keep her safe, okay? Inner villain type stuff, right? And then all of a sudden, your brain shifts. And you can let me know if you've ever done this. You can write it down if you have. Your brain shifts and starts focusing on what could go wrong. Ah, but if I do that, my friends and family are gonna think I'm stupid that I tried. What if I give up my job and then the money doesn't come in? Then I can't pay my bills, and then I can't pay my mortgage, and then I won't be able to take care of my kids. And then, like, somebody said snowball. You snowball, Joe said, you snowball down this hill. You start focusing on what could go wrong. And then all of a sudden, you don't, if you're like driving a car, you're not looking forward anymore. Then your subconscious goes into overdrive and you start looking in your rear view mirror backwards on things you tried before. You know, I tried that own business thing 10 years ago. I tried network marketing. I tried to do an online business, right? Remember the last time we tried? It's like you're having a conversation with that subconscious, like, Oh yeah, we tried and we failed. Remember, you were lazy last time. You procrastinated last time. People didn't believe in you last time. You failed last time. And now all of a sudden you're stacking it up. And then what do? You start looking around for other people who failed. Who's ever done this? I have to tell you, I drive. I think I shared this earlier, but I had a Mercedes, and then I went to a Tesla, which I loved that Tesla. But something about, I'm just getting simpler. Like, I can't wear anything but a gray t-shirt. I don't know, it's almost impossible for me to put anything else on. I wear a watch only because my wife gave it to me as a wedding gift, right? I'm just getting simpler, and I sold those, and right now I drive a white Ford pickup truck. It's got cool wheels on it, it's a fancy truck, but I love it. Like, absolutely love it. It's a favorite thing. Now, when I got this, it's because Jeremy, who's been working with me for a decade and a dear friend's got a great truck. My brother-in-laws both have the same truck, and it just looks so cool, but I didn't see anybody else's except their three, right? So I get my brother-in-law to help me find the truck. I help him get me really cool wheels on it. I'm like, get me unique wheels. Get me unique tires. I want white, but I want like wine color interior, because if I'm gonna, I sold everything. So all I drive is this truck. I'm like, I got a cool white Ford pickup that nobody's got, right? And what happened the first time I went down the street? Everybody has a white Ford pickup truck. Everybody has a white Ford pickup truck with the same tires and wheels as I do. Like, literally, I'll come to my office and there's two people that work for me. I didn't even notice that they had exactly the same trucks. They probably think I copied them, right? Because our subconscious, until we look for it, we don't recognize it's there. So what happens in this slippery slope, right? You're excited, then your subconscious wants to protect you. You focus on what could go wrong. You look backwards on the things that went, and all of a sudden you start looking through the lens of other people who failed. Oh, she tried that business. Dana tried that, didn't work out. That's right. Like, you're noticing the white Ford pickup trucks. You're noticing what could go wrong. So you're gathering proof, and then what happens? Self-doubt starts to come in. Yeah, this probably won't work. And all of a sudden, your confidence goes from 98% when you felt amazing about moving forward, drops down to about 90, and guess what happens? You hesitate. You stop. You back up. And you miss out. And you stay status quo. Doesn't mean your life falls miserably and you fall off a cliff and everything's gone. You just go back to who you were. And you stay there. That is a path. That is not a path for someone else, and I've never experienced. I've been on that path a million times. How do you think I could recognize that path? Why do you think I wanted to take the time to go down that path with you? Because if you know it, right, everything we're sharing in this course, in the Accelerated Success Formula, is what? We're going upstream. We're going upstream to find the root cause, right? How do you fix the end result problem? You find the root cause, right? My son has eczema, right? When he eats certain things, his eczema flares up. We can put steroids on his eczema. It takes it away for a day. Or we go upstream and find the things that inflame him and we don't allow him to eat them anymore. And we solve the root cause of the problem. The reason you'll see me go back and deeper is once you know the root cause, then you can identify where it comes from and know how to fix it. That's what we're doing here. This is not a motivational course. Rah, rah, inspiration, be fired up. And then in 2 weeks from now, you're like, well, what do I do? How do I get in my state? How do I get excited? You understand this process. So that's the villain in charge. What if we look through a different lens and we put the hero in charge? How does that evolution work? How does somebody successful, why does it seem like someone who's had success, more success just goes to them? It's like, oh my God, that worked for them, then that worked for them, then they got in the right relationship, then they invested in Tesla when it was $1 a share, and like, how does all these things keep happening to somebody? Did you ever think confidence builds on top of confidence, and you have the right process? We have the opportunity to look through a different lens, because you're thinking they're getting lucky, but you're hesitating and they're not. Think about that. So how does this process look if the hero is in charge? Okay, we start in the same place. You're excited for what could be. I'm going in the knowledge industry, network marketing, new business, the pizza place. I'm just excited about being a better version of me. I'm fixing this relationship. I'm getting into a new relationship. You're excited for what be, what is. But this time, the hero is in charge. So your subconscious doesn't, and you don't allow it to start looking for what could go wrong. You start looking for what could go right. You don't look backwards. You look in the present. What tools do I have right now? What focus can I have right now? What opportunities are available right now? I don't care about the past. I learned from the past. You're behind me. Shut up. I'm never talking to you. I took what served me from the past. The rest of it could burn down. I don't want to talk to you. I am here. This is the new me, the focused me, the non-procrastinator, the hero in charge. I'm ready for this. And you start here and look into the future on where you could go by creating your compelling future. Now the hero's in charge. Now what do you do next? You start looking for the white Ford pickup trucks, except you're looking for people who are crushing it and dominating and doing amazing. You're not looking for the failures. If you're in a relationship, you're not trying to look for the people who got divorced 3 times and their kids are struggling. You're looking for the people who've been married for 40 years, their kids are on fire and they still hold hands and they're still passionate between them. We're looking for the proof of what works. That's what the hero does. Think of the difference when you're thinking, why is this person getting ahead? Because this person's got the hero in charge and you got the villain in charge. Who's gonna win? Right? So all of a sudden, you're looking for proof of what could go right. You're looking in the present and the future, not the past. You're gathering proof on why it can work. You're learning from people who've already been there. You're surrounding yourself with people who are energy chargers, not energy drainers. And then all of a sudden, your inner strength starts to grow. You're like, oh, we got this. Not gonna be easy, but I got this. I'm not giving up on this. And all of a sudden, confidence goes up. And now you're in the 97, 98, 99% confidence rate and say, okay, I'm courageous. This is when you get that momentum. That's when you take the leap of faith. That's when you take what we talked about in the beginning is, that's when you take, you ready? I've said it way too many times. You take uncomfortable action. You do it anyway. You jump out of the plane and just know you're gonna grow wings on the way down. You got this. And what's the results? You grow. You learn. You create success. You navigate new territory. And you bring the abundance in your life you're looking for. Don't want to oversimplify it, but I want you to see the path. Because if you're on the wrong road, listen, if you don't have a map and you get on the wrong road, you could get miserably lost. Most people don't have a life map. They can get GPS on their phone, but they don't have a life map. This is a life map. When you start noticing that the inner villain is in charge and you're driving down the wrong road, you go, whoa, wait a minute. Wrong person is driving, wrong person is adjusting the thermostat, get over, I'm putting someone else behind the wheel. I'm adjusting the thermostat, the inner hero's in charge right now, get out of the seat, right? That's how we go to that next level. And I love this next part of this training. I wanna give you something that really anchors it in, that is so simple, yet I believe it'll be a memory that will anchor this in. So we're getting ready, right? I told you some stories, scenes in my life. And then I taught you, right? Taught you how to awaken, how to unleash and empower the inner hero. I told you about confidence and state of mind. We talked about the slippery path that takes you down the wrong road and the evolution that could take you to where you want to be. Now this is going to start the training of the tool and the thought process. After this, we'll do a tool. And we're going to anchor in this with a simple approach. This is a mastermind I went to with some friends. You might recognize some of them. My buddy Brendan Burchard, Russell Brunson, Lewis Howes, Dave Hollis, Trent Shelton, Jeff Walker, Randy Garn, Anthony Trucks. Just so many awesome people, right? We went on this mastermind. My buddy Brendan and Randy put it together up in the mountains of Idaho. It was so beautiful. I mean, absolutely stunning. That was the top of the mountain behind the cabin that we rented. And every single day we mastermind and shared, you know, all great dudes, all successful entrepreneurs, all good human beings with values and the right character, right? So we get together, we're helping each other, and I'm helping with somebody's week here. So the best thing about masterminds, we all get, you know, we all grow, right? But did you ever see when that many guys get together? They're like 12. We might be really professionals. Three or four of them were NFL players. Lewis Howes, Anthony Trucks, Trent Shelton, maybe one more. At least three were NFL players, right? Guys get together, they kind of turn into 12-year-olds competing over everything. Like legit, we competed over absolutely anything. Like who ate the most steak? That morning, we ran the mountain. And we competed to who would get to the top of the mountain first. It was me. But no big deal. the next day, we go to this amazing lake, like the most incredible lake you've ever seen in your life. You could see straight down to the bottom. You could see trout, you know, 2 feet long. We all get in these cool canoes, and we're rowing across, literally casual. Everybody's talking. I had my buddy Trent Shelton behind me, and then all of a sudden, somebody's like pulling a little harder, and then I see somebody pulling a little harder, and somebody else, first one to the rock across the lake wins. And all these dudes, like 12 years old, splash and paddle, like literally my heart felt like it was jumping out of my chest. We took second in that one, so I was really frustrated. But anyway, we kept going, and everything we did was a competition. So I'm telling you this for a reason, because this will all come around. But my buddy, Randy Garn, he puts together a real competition, meaning he owns a ranch where the water comes off the Idaho mountains, the snow melting mountains, and this beautiful stream. You could picture it, you know, you saw some of those pictures, this beautiful stream with the water coming down the mountains. And he's got multiple acres, and it's a fly fishing ranch. So people from all over the world fly there to fly fish in these beautiful streams, right? So Randy sets up a real competition. We're getting in pairs. My partner was Lewis Howes, another great dude. And everybody else got in pairs. It was like six pairs of people. And we were gonna fly fish. Now, just know before we start, there wasn't a single fish harmed. Everything is kind of kissed, loved, and released back into the wild, right? But there's like five different kinds of trout in these streams, and there's big ones and there's small ones. So Randy, like legit, like a piece of paper competition, puts together a challenge. We're all gonna start at the same time. You get judged on the most fish, the biggest fish, and the different species, right? So you get points if it's big, you get points if it's unique, you get points if it's, you know, how many you catch, right? So he pairs up, Lewis and I pair up, and Lewis is like, yeah, we got this. And everybody's like legit, like we're playing for $1 million. We're not, we're playing for bragging rights, right? So we pair up and my buddy Trent is like, no, it's no big deal, we'll do it. And then you see him with their buddies, like we're kicking their butts. And so here's the part I wanna share with you. And this is the reason I'm telling this story. One thing I had was a little bit of an unfair advantage. I hadn't fly fished much in over 20, 30 years. When I was a kid, my grandfather was a huge part of my life, and he loved fly fishing and taught me how to fly fish. Now, he died when I was 10, but he taught me how to fly fish before that, and I'm pretty darn good. Plus, it's like I still have a relationship with him, and I wanted him to be proud. But I hadn't done it in a long time, but I'm pretty intense. I am not the, I'm gonna kick your butt. I'm kind of like the, oh, guys, no big deal. But inside, I'm like, oh, I'm winning. Like there's nobody beating me. So I have a definite competitive edge, but it's more internal. I don't say it out loud. So the reason I'm sharing this, he sets this up. And now let me tell you how even it is. We all get the same fly rods. He supplies them. We all get the same flies. We're all fishing in the same water. We're all fishing there at the same time. We all get at each station. There's six different stations you can fish at. And at each station, there's a guide, like a professional to tell you how to do things for those that don't know how to do it. Like it is completely even. And there's even like a buzzer that goes off. Like Randy created something, asked God to like this buzzer's like, and you start fishing and you fish for 20 minutes and the buzzer goes off and you get and you walk to the next station. So we're even all fishing in the same stations. All that makes sense? You're like, I really don't care about fishing. I promise you, this all makes sense. So we get to the first spot, and I'm excited. I haven't fished fly fishing in a while, and I start fly fishing. Everybody does, and I don't hear anybody catching anything, right? Nobody's catching nothing. Finally, I hear one person like downstream, like, "Whoa, I got one!" And we go to the next one, and not much. And all of a sudden, and this is the part, and this is the lesson, because the simple things are the big things. I'm no more qualified than any of those guys. They're all smart. They're all entrepreneurs. They're all good people. Remember, everything's the same. And think about that in your business life. Think about this as all your competition, right? Everything's equal playing fields. But all of a sudden, what I started doing obsessively, like I do with my confidence, I look for the things that rob my confidence, and guess what I do? Less of it. I look for the things that fuel my confidence, that fuel my inner hero. And guess what I do? Here's my brilliance. I do more of it, right? So this simple approach to my life came into effect by the time we got to the third hole of fishing, What I realized is what I was doing was not working. If what you're doing is not working, we must shift, but you don't have to do the 180, change your whole life. You got to identify what works and do more of it. Identify what's not working and do less of it. So we get to the third hole and I realize that if I walk up to the stream, the water is so crystal clear, the fish see me, I can see them and they swim away. And I'm thinking, they say trout are the smartest fish, freshwater fish. If they could see me, I could see them. That's why they're not biting. So I start hiding or literally crawling up to the stream or hiding behind a bush before I start casting and I start getting bites. And then I realize that when the water comes down, if it goes over a log or over a rock and the water churns, you see stuff churning in there. That's where the fish are hanging out, because that's where those of you are fly fish, you understand, that's where the food is. A worm or a fly comes down, it's going to churn there, not going by so quick. So I start landing it right in that spot. All of a sudden, I start catching fish, right? And I'm doing more of what's working. And I start catching more fish, right? And what I'm realizing as I'm going, I'm figuring out that if I crawl up to the stream or hide, if I throw it in this exact spot, that I'm getting bites and I'm catching fish. But then I also realized, because I hadn't fly fished in a long time, if you leave slack in your line, if you ever watch fly fishing, you just this big whip of fly. If you leave slack in the line and the fish bites and you have slack, you don't get a chance to like tug your line and set the hook. Again, nobody was hurting, no fish were hurt. All of them went back. But I realized by the fourth hole, fifth hole, all of these things were improving and no one else was doing it. By the sixth hole, I'm catching more than anyone. Lewis is losing his mind. By the seventh hole, look, I even kissed this one, gave him some love, put him back, no pain, but I am catching fish after fish, and I'm watching. Now, this is the part I want you to think about. I'm watching Lewis, my partner, who's like, my partner's, he's literally screaming, my partner's the best, we're kicking your butts. Literally, I'm watching Lewis not change anything, because maybe fly fishing wasn't as important to him as it is to me. Right? Because of my grandpa. I'm watching Lewis do what most of us do. He starts fishing faster. Faster. He's like, oh my God, look at all these fish Dean are catching. He's not noticing the little nuances. He's not noticing the things that are working and doing more of it, and noticing what's not working and do less of it. He's just casting 100 miles an hour and he's like, there's fish in here, I know it, they're just not biting for me. And he puts on the same lure as me. He comes stand next to me. He's doing everything and they're not getting on his hook, and I am pulling out fish after fish. The crazy part, in the last hole, I caught 9 fish. No one else caught 9 fish the entire day. I caught like 20. I caught more fish than anybody. I caught every variety. I caught the biggest fish of the day. And here's the coolest, the last part of the story to really anchor this in. I get to the last hole. I'm catching fish after fish. I got it dialed in. I'm sneaking up. I know where to cast it. I know when to cast. I know when to keep it tight so I can stick the hook. I know, I'm getting them off the hook, giving them a little kiss, putting them back in, getting another one. All of a sudden, I look down the stream. And a long ways down, I literally saw this monster trout. I could see him. His like back fin was out of the stream, but it was impossible to cast there. And it was literally like a Sports Illustrated like video. No one had it on video, but I take my hook, I take my fly, I put it in the stream, and I just like keep feeding it. And I'm watching my fly go down the stream. It's all the way down, and literally like a movie, the fly gets this big old trout. It turns. Hits it, that was the biggest fish of the day. I bring that in, so I won the whole kit and caboodle. The most, the variety, the biggest fish. Now why'd I tell you that story? I told you that story because it wasn't rocket science. They're all as capable as me. Maybe they didn't care, maybe it was no big deal, maybe it wasn't their day. I was winning that, and I didn't do anything fancy. The competition was the same. I'm pounding this into your head because there are things you're doing right now. It's like some of you have a hammer and you're hitting yourself on the thumb and you're going, damn, that hurts. Oh my God, when I hit this hammer on my thumb, it hurts so bad. And then 5 minutes later, you know what you do? Boom, ow, it hurts again. I don't understand. Every time I hit my damn thumb, it hurts miserably. What should I do? You should put the hammer down. That's what you should do. You should recognize what's not working, what's not serving you, the people that aren't, the thoughts that you have, the story that you're doing, the story you're telling yourself, the people you surround yourself. If it's the hammer hitting your thumb and it's not working, don't hit your thumb faster like Lewis Howes when he was fishing faster. You need to stop and take a breath And you need to acknowledge what's working in your life and do more of it. That's why I told you the fly fishing story. And you need to acknowledge in your life what's not working and do less of it or adjust it. And it's the same when it comes to my marketing for my company. I obsessively analyze what's working and I do more of it. I obsessively analyze what's not working and I do less of it. I do it when I want my relationship with my wife to be even better. I obsess on what's working, do more of it. What's not, do less. My relationship with my kids, more, less. I know it sounds too simple. It sounds so simple you're thinking there's gotta be something else. There's not. Of course there's a lot of things, but that's the foundation of how you can shift from the villain being in charge to the hero being in charge. Now I'm gonna anchor it in with one last tool, then we're gonna take a break and do this tool together, okay? About a decade ago, I mentioned him earlier on in the course, but about a decade ago, I was going through something crazy in business, and you know, we all go through ups and downs, especially being in an entrepreneurial world, probably more than a decade ago. And it was one of the first times I met Shawn Stevenson. And for those of you who haven't seen that part of the course, Shawn was a dear friend of mine. Shawn passed away about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. But Shawn was only supposed to live 2 weeks when he was born. He was born with an illness that his bones were fragile and they could break. As a matter of fact, he broke over 280 bones in his body in his lifetime. He was only 3 foot tall. He was in a wheelchair. But when you met Shawn, he was a giant in 5 minutes. You forgot he was in a wheelchair. You forgot, like, just an amazing human being. Confidence, a 10 out of a 10 at all times. Most confident man on the planet when you walk in a room. You could feel his presence. Get up on stage and just light your soul up. He taught me so many cool things, like don't dare dim your glow for other people. I talked about that earlier. Just a good dude. And when you look through, I can't even imagine what he had gone through in his life, right? Won't even pretend to understand what he'd gone through, breaking all those bones and stuff. And I shared this earlier. He lived to be 40 years old, I think a year past 40. And it was a freak accident that took him, which is so sad. But I feel so blessed that he touched my life, but he's touched the lives of millions of people around the world. Just an incredible soul, and his message, he had a desire to cure pain and suffering. That's what he said he was put on this earth to do, and he had that chance and he did it. Not because anybody gave it to him. There was no magic wand. This guy created it in a wheelchair, broken 280 bones. Just an amazing guy. Why am I sharing that whole story? Some of it might be a little redundant because I love the guy, miss him, sending him lots of love. But he left me with great lessons. And one of them was when I was going through an issue in my own life, you know, things happen. He took me through an exercise he called What's Cool About You? And it sounds, again, like inner villain, simple stuff, but simple stuff's the big stuff, right? And I'm going through this and he said, we're on the phone. I remember where I was sitting. It was two houses ago. I was on a phone call. He lived in Chicago. In fact, the phone call was so good, I jumped on a plane and I flew out to Chicago and spent 2 days with him. And man, talk about just help me shift, right? I'm always looking for new capabilities. And I remember talking to him about it, and I don't know if we were on the phone call or it was in person, but he made me do the exercise I want you guys to do, right? Now, as we're here, I also want you to think about that fishing story. Is I, on the break as well, or when you pause this video, or anytime, I want you to start thinking about the things that aren't working in your life and how you could do less of them, and the things that are working, how you could do more in all the areas of your life you want to improve. That is not an exercise. That is something you should be doing every single day of your life. You should make it part of your routine, write it down. You can write fishing story, and that should be your trigger to say less, more, less, right? But this exercise we're going to do together, and he called it What's Cool About You. So I remember he looked at me and said, Dean, I'm talking to you right now, and all you're doing is, and this is what you do. I've read your books. I follow you. You inspire me. I'm glad I get to give it back to you. He goes, all you've done for the world, and right now you're focusing on the things you failed on or the things that didn't work. He said, that's a really tough one. So what's cool about you? And I'm like, cool about me? I don't know, Shawn. I don't know, that's kind of weird. So let's talk about the thing bugging me. He's like, no. And he was really good at pushing something that was uncomfortable. You have any friends in your life that Tony Robbins is great with me and everyone, that he will push you in that uncomfortable moment, because isn't it those uncomfortable moments that we push through that we find our breakthrough on the other side? Isn't that the way it always goes? And I remember Shawn pushing me. He goes, no, I'm asking you, what's cool about you? I'm like, Shawn, come on, dude, you're embarrassing me. I don't know. I don't know, I wrote a few books. I literally couldn't think, and I was embarrassed to say anything. Imagine if I was like, what's cool about me? Let me give you the 77 things that are cool about me. First, second, it's like, no, that's not the way we think. I'm like, no, dude, I'm in a tough spot. I made some dumb decisions. Like, let's talk about how shitty I am and how I messed up and how I can scrape my way through. And he's like, I'm not working with you anymore until you tell me right now what is cool about you. And he made me sit there in my uncomfortableness, if that is a word, and write down what's cool about me. And I have to tell you, it fed my confidence. I started writing, and this is the exercise we're gonna do here in a moment. I started writing like weird stuff, like, I don't know. And I started writing stuff like, when I was in my early 20s, without a lot of money, I was the New England State grass drag champion on snowmobiles. Sounds crazy. Like, what is that? Do you even know what it's like? Did you ever know that in the Northeast, they take snowmobiles and in the fall, they put old big spikes on them and you drag race on grass. You go 100 miles an hour and 500 feet on grass. It was unbelievable. I went to one. It was so adjunction filled. I went and I obsessed on my snowmobile, tweaked it, adjusted it, changed it. If you read The Underdog Advantage, you know that story. I didn't have the money. I raced against like Team Arty Cat, Team Skidoo, like the people sponsored with big money. I ended up winning the whole New England championship. That means New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey. I think they consider New Jersey, you know, the whole New England side. Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Mass. That's all New England, right? New England state champion. Killed it. It was amazing. I'm like, that was pretty cool. I did that in my 20s without money. And then I was like, I don't think anybody realizes that I know how to drive a bulldozer, a backhoe, all heavy equipment. When I built houses, I could watch somebody do it and I jumped on and I started thinking about that. I said, I have dyslexia. I barely got out of school. Ms. Thompson told me I was dumb and I'm a multiple New York Times bestselling author. I'm like, pretty cool. But then I wrote things like, I still have my best friend from fifth grade. With all the craziness going on in life, my best friend is still my same best friend since fifth grade. My number one thing, and it's on my sheet that you guys can print this in a minute. I said, I put my kids first over work. Over work and accomplishments. Not even a question. And now I put my wife first. There's no business that could, there's no money that could, that would, if it's gonna compromise my relationship with my wife, there's nothing that I'll say yes to. If it's gonna compromise my time or my relationship with my kids, I will say no. That's not just me giving lip service. That is absolutely, and it makes me cool. I believe it makes me cool. You know what else I think makes me cool? Not the big accomplishments, the New York Times bestselling author and all that. You know what I think's cool? This morning, the reason I raced here is because when my kids, my older kids are with me, I make them breakfast and I make them lunch every day before I take them to school. This morning, I made them turkey, dairy-free cheese on gluten-free bread and a big old lettuce and tomato and apples and oranges and a couple other things. I made them their breakfast this morning and I wrote a little note on a napkin and put it in their lunch. I think I'm cool that I do that. I have help. We have people come and do stuff around our house. Nobody's helping me do that. And then I made them a bean and cheese burrito for breakfast. And I sat there this morning and I went over my daughter's notes for her test. And I helped my son put his little medication on his wart that he's trying to get rid of. That, I believe, makes me cool as shit because I don't outsource being a dad, even though I'm busy as hell. And I know that might be something you like. I'm just sharing that. It is easier now for me to say that. When Sean first asked me, I couldn't think of one thing cool about me. I literally was like, that's just weird, Sean. I'm not doing this. There are so many cool things about you. So many cool things. Write it down right now. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. Write down what is cool about you. You have an exercise sheet. It's not fancy. It's what it says right across the top. What's cool about you? Again, I shared some of mine. It's not, again, it's not, if you think, well, I haven't wrote a New York Times bestselling book. I haven't made millions of dollars. That's not what makes you cool. What builds your confidence, what makes you feel better. It could be what makes you cool, but all we want are the things that you go, wow, I am good at that. I went through a divorce and I put my kids first. Pretty damn cool. I went through a bad breakup in a partnership and the partner took advantage of me, but I forgave him. Pretty damn cool. I found a new relationship with God. I was this religion, I was that religion, and now I have a spiritual connection with my father. That's pretty damn cool, right? I love being a parent. I support my husband, I support my wife. It'd be pretty damn cool. I promise you it's a little uncomfortable, and I promise it is worth it in this evolution of awakening, of unleashing that inner hero. Let's do the exercise.